Is Ford shedding its foreign accent?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Ford's denying reports it's preparing to sell Volvo. Even so, some European analysts this morning are saying a sale could be in the cards. We have more from London and Stephen Beard.
Ford has denied that it's talking to another company about selling Volvo. All it will say is that it's assessing all its operations. Having lost more than $12 billion last year, the need for that assessment is pressing. Ford has already sold Aston Martin, and it's currently trying to get rid of Land Rover and Jaguar. Analysts now reckon that Volvo could be next, going for as much as $8 billion. Paul Newton of Global Insight says there'll be no lack of buyers.
I would suspect there would be a lot of interest. Volvo's in fine shape. It's not grown without hiccups. It's had a little bit of a fallback last year, but we're expecting some new models to come on stream, which we're expecting to do very well.
He says the stories about Volvo suggest the sale of Jaguar and Land Rover is not going as well as Ford hoped. The company had set a deadline of this Thursday for potential purchasers to express an interest in those two brands. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Wall Street's coming back after a record week. The Dow and the S&P finished at all-time highs on Friday. Overnight, Asian stocks were down, but European shares are up for a third day. Banking stocks are getting a lift this morning from word the Royal Bank of Scotland is raising its offer for the Dutch bank ABN AMRO. And we've got a restaurant merger in the works. IHOP sealing a deal to buy Applebee's for $2.2 billion. In the oil markets, crude is about $74 a barrel in New York. This amid nagging concerns about weak production in the North Sea. China is complaining about the image problem it has in the foreign media. The country's top quality control person says the alarm about food safety was unnecessary. Scott Tong is our reporter in Shanghai. What are you hearing about the timing of today's accusation, Scott?
Right now, there's a growing sense of trade tension between China and the United States. And in China, often when there's this kind of tension, the target is foreign companies and the target is the foreign news media.
Now, Scott, on the reverse of this, the Chinese also have concerns about products that they are importing from the U.S. What's going on here?
Well, on Friday, giant U.S. companies, including Cargill and Tyson Foods, these are giant exporters of fresh beef and chicken and pork, were put on a list of banned items coming into China. Now, these companies say that the reasons for the ban were bogus, that this is just a tit-for-tat kind of trade situation here. And they say that the Chinese government is trying to create this impression that dangerous food is everywhere. It's not just here in China. Now, having said that, there is some truth to that, according to what a lot of people say, that you're going to run into quality questions if you go to other developing countries like Bangladesh or India. It's just that China's scale is so vast that chances are if something is dangerous, it's probably coming from China.
What are the Chinese doing that is really proactive to deal with this food safety issue?
They're doing a whole lot. Several hundred small food processing factories have been shut down here in China. There's a new monitoring system on the way. There's stepped up supervision. It's going to be slow, a lot slower than many of us would like, but it's going in the right direction because of all the attention the government is paying to it right now.
That's our Scott Tong in Shanghai.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the American Public Transportation Association, representing America's public transportation industry, delivering 10 billion riders annually and working for an energy-independent America. Publictransportation.org. And by American Public Media's weekly program, Speaking of Faith. Starting July 19th, Krista Tippett explores the ethics of eating with author Barbara Kingsolver, speakingoffaith.org.
We've heard the stories of bad lending practices and subprime mortgages. In Congress, a bill to protect borrowers is making its way through the House, and legislators in some 30 states have introduced bills targeting deceptive lending. But for many, it's too late. Steve Tripoli has the story of one such case.
Bob and Mary sit in their home near the Massachusetts coast and wonder how much longer they can stay there. The retired couple won't let us use their full names because they've taken their mortgage lender to court. Bob thought their monthly mortgage payment would never rise much beyond its original $1,289.
And that's the way I understood it. I didn't know we were going to go from $1,289 up to $1,600 up to $1,800 in a matter of 6 months.
Mary thought they'd lend at a fixed rate, But on closing day, the lender's lawyer told them they hadn't qualified and they had to take an adjustable rate instead. The couple had taken out the new mortgage because they needed cash to pay off medical and other bills. They felt they had no option but to sign.
I had already told people that this mortgage was going through and that payment would be 3 days after we signed the mortgage. And I felt like at that late date, I couldn't cancel anything.
Andrea Bopp Stark is Bob and Mary's lawyer. She says this kind of bait and switch is common in the mortgage game these days. She's going after the lender for not telling Bob and Mary they were signing up for what Massachusetts law calls a high-cost loan.
The illegal part of this is that there are certain disclosures that need to go along with a high-cost loan, including the fact that this may not be the best rate you can get and you should shop around.
Lynn Drysdale is a consumer law expert at Jacksonville Legal Aid in Florida. She says these and other kinds of tactics by lenders are rampant around the country.
Inflating appraisals, falsifying loan applications, giving people loans with prepayment penalties that are hidden. And these are nationwide lenders that most people would think have an air of respectability.
Drysdale says payday lenders, auto lenders, and others are also crossing the legal line more often. But federal agencies are starting to crack down on rogue lenders. And around the country, state attorneys general have been on the move. Back in Massachusetts, Mary and Bob sit in a house full of packed boxes. They're in foreclosure but hope to settle that case. They say they don't know what they'll do if those boxes have to be loaded onto a moving van. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
Rupert Murdoch is having lunch today with the CEO of Dow Jones, Richard Zannino. The meeting will deal with some outstanding issues in Murdoch's proposed purchase of Dow, the parent of the Wall Street Journal. But a member of the family that controls Dow is still working to block this takeover. Reports say that Christopher Bancroft is talking to hedge funds and private equity firms about buying enough Dow voting shares to challenge Murdoch's $5 billion bid. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening, and make it a good day.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.